Hello, hello. Hope we are all well. Welcome to the FPL Banter Pod. My name is George. I hope we're all ready for the festive period, for Christmas, for the food and the presents, and obviously all that Christmas football we're going to be getting. But the pod is called FPL Banter Pod, and I just want to touch on banter, I guess. Something I enjoy, something that can potentially go over the top at times, and basically I just want to make an apology to the slackers for Sunday. First of all, thank you, Sam, if you are listening to this pod. Thank you for reaching out to me when I left briefly in the match day channel, purely because I felt I was making the place uncomfortable, and I didn't, you know, I just wanted to get out for a bit. So I didn't make anything worse. I kind of poked the bear a bit too much, saying my plan worked. And obviously, great for me, right? Great for my FPL team. And, you know, and Sam said, you know, I don't want you not being able to celebrate, you know, your good week. Because it was a good week. And it was just at the expense of United. And it looked like United bashing. I love the FPL family. I love the Slack. It's literally, I feel more at home in the Slack than anywhere else. And everyone knows that in there. And I try and bring a good vibe, and I joke around, and, you know, the wind up merchant, as Raj famously gave me the name, it sticks, and it did stick. And I think my rivalry with Aaron, it's not even a rivalry, because we're literally, I love the bloke, and, you know, we've had a few DMs since Sunday, and, you know, we've had a conversation, and I think the rival we were having, we just took it a little bit too seriously, and it just came off very toxic, not just for me and him, but everyone else. And thank you, you know, Nicole, Helen, Kelly, Matt, there's a few of you that, you know, you've reached out and sort of, you know, are you okay? Is everything all right? Like, and the key word, FPL family, and it is an FPL family feel, and most of the time it is a family feel. And I think just in that 5-minute period, it just became very uncomfortable. And I take full responsibility of that. Aaron's probably the most passionate United fan I've ever come across, and of course he's frustrated. You know, his star players just got injured, Villa just scored a brilliant goal, he's going to be fuming, as I would be at Brentford, as any of us would be with, you know, Matt with Arsenal, Nicole with Newcastle, Helen with Brighton, you know, Sam with Spurs, Liverpool with Lee, and so forth, so forth. When our teams are doing crap, even if we are having a good FPL week, that's what we care about the most. I'd much rather Brentford get 3 points and then me get 100 points in FPL. But then when something's not gone right in FPL, and then your football team's in the mud, it brings you, you're depressed, and then sometimes it can seem like people are kicking you while that's happened. And that's never my intention, to kick people with, you know, the United bashing. It's just me trying to be a little bit funny, and sometimes there's a time and a place for it. And as Sam rightly said, read the room, George. And I just didn't read the room at that time. I was very happy with everything, the narrative I believed in that would happen this week basically happened. By the way, I didn't want Bruno injured. I had Bruno. I just benched him. I just thought it'd be a really tough game for him, and that Bruno would get a blank. And, you know, he did. But the cost is now I've got a Bruno-shaped problem who's probably out for a good 5 to 6 weeks. But, yeah, again, I'm sorry. I'm sorry to Aaron. I'm sorry to the people in the Slack that are in there at that time feeling the uncomfortableness. And it's not the first time. It's been a bit like that every now and then in the Slack, especially on match days. And obviously me and Aaron have had a chat. We're kind of, as Helen rightly suggested, the rivalry ain't even a rivalry anymore. Like, we're both having great seasons, by the way. We're 1 point adrift of each other. We're both in the 94k mark. It's like, yeah, we're just gonna enjoy our seasons, and we're still gonna have a laugh. Look, banter In families, you have banter, you have, but you're also there to care for each other and support each other. And obviously, that's what I did with Aaron, because he seemed really down the other day, and I've just checked he is okay and everything's okay. Because, by the way, I felt crap as well. That I woke up that Monday morning and I was ready to leave the Slack, not because I wanted to, because I thought it was best for everyone else that I went. But obviously, I've spoke to a few people, and like I said, the Slack, I feel, is my home. It's the place where I feel most comfortable. It's probably the only place where I feel I can be me fully. And that's the same with the little WhatsApp group I have with Steve, Louise, Claire, Duncan, Andrew and Fiona. And that's where I feel I can be me, in football environments, in FPL environments. And I've rambled on for about 6 minutes now, but just my little piece and just saying, you know, I love you all. I never want to hurt anyone or anyone's feelings. I come into Slack to try and, you know, have a little laugh, but also be positive and give advice if it's needed. By the way, don't take my advice. Obviously, I'm always going to give my advice, but because I love FPL, and a lot of my advice is more from eye tests than data here and there. And for those who listen to me, I really appreciate it. For you to listen to this pod, I really appreciate it. And I do hope one day these pods become something bigger, into stuff that, you know, Sam and Lee do and all that. And I'd love to, like, literally, I'm at my happiest when I can just ramble on about football. Obviously, I don't like to just do it on my own in my room. I like to, you know, have little gatherings like I do with Steve, Claire and Louise, and you know, the fest meetups and just a little chit-chat in the Slack. I love it, and I could do it all day. And, yeah, so, again, I'm really sorry for the other day. I truly love all of you, and I care about all of you very, very much. And, yeah, that's my piece on it. FPL. So, well, great week, as I've just said. Everything that I kind of predicted to happen pretty much happens. Like I said, I didn't want Bruno injured. I just wanted him to blank. And unfortunately, he did blank with a one-pointer, which, you know, it seemed very rogue at the time with a lot of people. Everyone in the everyone in the Slack going, George, are you mental? You're really going to sell Saka and bench Bruno? And I did. I thought that Everton away game was difficult. I got very, very lucky with the Arsenal game, because obviously Arsenal got a penalty. Now, normally with penalties, Saka's going to take it. For whatever reason, Gyökeres took it. There's a stat, I think, that apparently now Saka just doesn't take penalties away from home. He'll take the home ones, but he won't take the away ones. So Gyökeres got it. Rice assisted it, technically. And I think that's a little bit wrong, because it was a handball from a Rice delivery. But hey-ho, is what it is. Rice owners, fair play. And then, the Bruno game. I benched Bruno. He pulls his hammy, probably for the first time ever, in a Man United shirt. And everyone goes, you know, Aaron said it the other day, George, you have the Midas touch. George is lucky. George needs to do lottery and all that kind of stuff. I am having the luck at the moment, but at the same time, I'm not doing it for the sake of it. There's a narrative. I look at the fixture and I look at the narrative and I look at the eye test, what I've seen, and I just, the way Villa were playing, I just didn't see Bruno doing anything. And, you know, maybe if he plays the full 90, that's a little bit different. Maybe they get back into it in the second half and, you know, stuff like that. But look, it worked. I got a 91, but I did take a hit to get Ekotike in and Tavernier in. So the hit kind of worked, I guess, because I got Hincapie as well for Arsenal. So I went double Arsenal defence. Let me get my team up, actually, so I can go through it properly. So Donnarumma, again, getting a 7-pointer, save point and a clean sheet. I mean, he is the best keeper in the world for a reason. He made a ridiculous double save in that game against West Ham. Yeah, just he's on fire at the moment, and I'm glad I went for him. You know, others went for O'Reilly and that, but I just think Donnarumma is just a set and forget at the moment. The double Arsenal defence, as I said, Hinkepi got a DEFCON and a 2 bonus. So he got me a 10-pointer. Timber with the 6 because of the clean sheet as well. Chalobah got a 3 because of DEFCON, conceding 2 goals against Newcastle. But as I say, he got the DEFCON. I was very lucky in this game as well, because really Chalobah should have given away a penalty. I think that's a penalty, and Nicole will be happy that I've said that. Rory as well. But that's 100% a penalty. I don't know why they've not looked at it properly. But that's more than a shoulder barge off the ball. That's a penalty. Tavernier with a 2. That narrative didn't work. Semenyo got the goal. And, I mean, you look at it two ways. If I went for Semenyo, I wouldn't have been able to get Hinkepi. So I think they ended up on the same points, Semenyo and Hinkepi. So either way, it would have, you know, balanced it out, I suppose. Foden with a 3, clean sheet point, and a 90 minutes, well, over 60 minutes, sorry. He came off, I think, around the 80 mark. Morgan Rodgers, as we touched on, fantastic. What a goal for that first one, especially. And he's probably, maybe player of the season. He probably is player of the season at the moment. Like, the things he's doing is just unreal. I think Haaland is probably player of the season just because he's Haaland. But Rodgers has just shone these last 2 or 3 games. And he's definitely in a shot for the World Cup, I think. I think he should be on that plane. And arguably, I'd start him behind Kane. But that's, you know, that's another story. Harry Wilson with a 2, got a yellow card, he blanked, and he may have a little injury. I don't think he does. I watched that game. He got a little knock on his knee. He looked like he was in agonising pain, and then he kind of carried on for 10 minutes, and he walked off fine, and I think Marco Silva said he should be fine for next week. So I sold Giu instead of Thiago. The only thing is, I wish I sold Thiago, because then it wouldn't have been a hit. Which would have looked a lot better, potentially. But then no one on my bench got any. They're all blanks, basically. So Thiago got the 2. And Ekiteke got a 9. That by the way, that's Liverpool-Spurs game. And Sam, if you're listening, I apologise for what I'm about to say, but Spurs lost the plot. They absolutely lost the plot. I don't know what Xavi's doing. And then Romero kicking out and Mickey breaking Isak's leg. Obviously, he's not meant to break his leg, but if that don't go in, I think they're looking at that and sending Mickey off. I think because it's gone in, they've not really looked at it properly. But I think if that doesn't go in, they really look at that and give Mickey a red card. I'm a little bit surprised they didn't look at it properly, to be honest. But I think that is a red card. It's a scissor tackle. It's dangerous. I don't want to say I feel for Isak, because he's a bit of a snake, as much as Wisser is. But in that moment, we saw literally what Isak is, what he can do. And in that second, he does a brilliant move and scores. And then a second later, he basically breaks his leg. But Spurs just lost the plot a little bit in that game. But the Ekiteke move was right. I got in a week early, got 9 points. And now he sits there ready for Wolves and Leeds. My bench, Dubravka with a 2. Bruno Fernandes with the injury we touched on earlier, with a 1-pointer, and then Richards and Rodon with 2 each. I'm actually glad Palace scored, because otherwise Rodon was on for like an 8-pointer, I think. So I'm glad that went. 91 with a minus 4, so that is an 87. 90, just under, just, Yeah, so 93.907. So basically 94k rank. Very happy with it. However, we were chatting in the Slack on the Saturday when Sam found out I basically benched Saka and... I sold Saka and benched Bruno. And it was a laugh, actually, Saturday night. And that's what I mean. That's the banter side of it. And there was a little bit of banter about it. And, you know, we love that. And, you know, but that's that. Sam called me bonkers, and she was probably right too, in a sense. And on another day, I get hurt by the Arsenal. Saka maybe scoring the penalty and, you know, things like that. But I kind of panicked. So I only have one free transfer, by the way. I made four. So I made four transfers. So yes, I now have a minus 12. So I sold Saka and I raised transfer Thiago like everyone else. He's had a stinker, the last three, and Dango's not there to win his penalties. I'm now even buying into that narrative of that. And I just raid transfer. I was like, and I kind of panicked because I thought I just had a weird, at that moment, I had a weird feeling like Saka's going to haul here and I'm going to want him back. So basically, I did these transfers to get Saka back. Now, at the time, Rodgers hadn't had his amazing game. But the reason I did sell Rodgers was because Rodgers has Chelsea and Arsenal next, which, as good as he is, I think there are two fixtures where you can kind of just go, don't think you're going to do what you just did to United in that game. He well could. He's that good at the moment. He could easily score against Chelsea and Arsenal. Villa are flying at the moment. They are in a title race. I don't care what anyone says. They are right now in a title race. So Rodgers went for me to get Saka back. And basically Mark Guy went for Thiago. Mark Guy came back for Thiago. So basically the two players I transferred out, pretty much 4 hours later, I brought them back in. So that was the hit. And I looked at it, I thought, okay, that's fine. Bruno's back. I've got a lovely midfield five to play on the day after Boxing Day. The Boxing Day weekend. And I was ready. I thought, okay, that's fine. Ekitikev's Wolves, lovely. I'm gonna captain him and leave it. Then the Bruno injury happened, and I was like, uh-oh. So I was always going to take a minus eight, and I didn't really know where to go. Now, the Izak leg break really wanted me to go Verts. I'm going to start with Cunha first, because Cunha's, even though I don't have him, there's a lot of conversation around Cunha. Cunha now has an opportunity to be the Wolves Cunha. He's now the guy. Mbeumo's gone to AFCON. So has Amad. Bruno's out for probably 5 to 6 weeks. Mount, okay, he can do bits and bobs, but he ain't deadly like Cunha. Now, this is basically Cunha's chance to go, okay, give him the ball, I'm going to make things happen in this game. And he has a Newcastle side on Friday. And then he has Wolves, then Leeds. I think basically the first Liverpool have Wolves and Leeds, and then basically United have Wolves and Leeds. So I looked at the Man United Newcastle game, and I thought Newcastle looked good against Chelsea, like really good. I thought Newcastle were very unlucky not to take all 3 points. Now, the only caveat to what I'm about to tell you in a minute is Newcastle, as most teams, to be fair, in the Premier League this season, a lot more are better at home than they are away. But Newcastle have Man United away. And Gordon was a man possessed against Chelsea. He didn't have a great game against Sunderland, but his last two other games, which have both been at home annoyingly, he's been a lot better. And I think he got a goal and an assist against Burnley. No, he got a goal against Burnley. And then he got two assists against Chelsea. And the way Man United's team looks at the moment, yes, Casemiro's back, but their defence is still crap. Sorry, Aaron and Raj, but it's crap. And Duncan. And I think this is a game where Newcastle can try and bounce back. Their forward line is back. There's no injuries in their front line. So they got Gordon, they got Voldemort, they got Iwissa, they got Bruno G just behind, they got Barnes to come in, they got Elanga to come in, Murphy, like everyone's fine. So really Newcastle can go and attack this United defence. And I think Gordon will be front and centre of a lot of it. So I basically took a minus 12. So I did two transfers. So Tavernier's gone as well to bring in Gordon. And then I sold Bruno for Wirtz. And then what I'm basically going to do next week, well, I'm either going to do two things. If Saka blanks again, Saka will go for a cheaper mid. And I'll bring back Thiago for the Spurs game. Not because of Spurs, because Brentford do have a nice-ish run coming up again. And I'm not sure I'm ready to give up on Thiago yet. I know his last two was a 0.02 XG. So he's not been great. And probably this is blind bias. But next week, the New Year's Day week, basically, I may bring him back. Or, depending on how Cunha does play against Newcastle, and bearing in mind he will have Wolves and Leeds coming up, either Wirtz or Gordon will have to come back out so then I can go and get Cunha for Wolves Leeds. Basically, I'm giving Wirtz the first go. I'm giving Wirtz and Gordon the first go. If I'm not happy with either of them, or one of them, one of them will go for Wirtz. If I'm not happy with Saka either, Saka could also become Cunha, and maybe I get Calvert-Lewin instead of Mark Giyu. And that would be another hit. Really, I don't really want to take another hit next week. So I'm kind of hoping that one of them just stinks. Thiago stinks it up again against Bournemouth. And then I can just go, right, okay, well, one of them's going for Cunha for these next two good games. If he does well against United, of course. If he doesn't, then I might just go, and maybe just roll and try and get two transfers for the week after. But my team at the moment, so it's Donnarumma with Timber, Chalobah and Hincapie. Hincapie, apparently, he's not there tonight. I'm recording this about an hour and a half before the Carabao Cup game against Palace. He's not there today because apparently he got a small shoulder injury against Everton. So he may be out for the Brighton game. If he does, then Richards will have to come in. I can't do a minus 16. I think minus 12 is the absolute maximum you should ever go. I think if you're hitting the 16-20s and it's like, what are you doing? So we just have to wait and see what Arteta says. We probably won't get a lot from Arteta. But if he doesn't play, then Richards will come in. And then we have a front five of Foden, Saka, Gordon, Wirtz and Wilson. Now, Wilson, again, if he got that knock against Forest yesterday. Silva thinks he'll be fine. He's already said he thinks he'll be fine for the next game. So, hopefully, Wilson will play against West Ham away. And then we have a front two of Haaland and Ekitike. Now, at the moment, the captaincy is on Ekitike. Now, if you've taken no hits, I would 100% go for Ekitike. The problem is, now I've taken a minus 12, am I really that brave enough? So, do I have the big balls that Steve always proclaims I have? Don't ask. It's a story you probably don't want to know. Billy Big Bollocks, that's what he calls me. Anyway, am I really that brave to do a minus 12 and then Ekitike captain? Or do I just go, right, well, I've taken the minus 12, so do I just go on the captain that almost everyone's going to captain anyway, or at least a large chunk of FPL are going to captain, purely because it's Haaland? Basically, the question is Ekitike going to get the same or more than Haaland is against Forest? That's the question I'm going to ask. But if they're on the same number, then I may as well have just captained Haaland purely for the ownership. At the moment, it is on Ekitike, and I want to keep it on him. Again, I've just got that little niggling feeling he's going to come good against Wolves. Wolves at home, if there was any fixture to captain your striker, that's it. And on another day, if Haaland didn't have West Ham, even though he didn't do anything, Thiago at home against Wolves, I would have 100% done. I didn't do it away because Thiago ain't great away, but at home I would have captained Thiago against Wolves. And I think if you've got a home fixture against Wolves, you go for whoever is the main man of whoever they're playing at the moment, because they're that bad right now that, you know. And it was like Saka with Wolves the week before, even though he didn't actually score, he got 2 assists and was still probably the right captain on that week. So I'm kind of sticking with the trend where if you have a home tie against Wolves, you're captaining him. And that's kind of my logic with this one. The fear of Haaland may strike in purely because of the minus 12. And that's the only reason I may have to go back to Haaland, just to cover myself a little bit. But we shall see. Yeah, that's it really. Thank you for listening. Thank you for listening throughout the year. I really do enjoy doing these. I know I do this mainly for, you know, at the moment for like, you know, you guys, the Slack people, whoever do listen to it on the Slack. I don't actually know how many of you do, but I do appreciate it. I know Jonathan always messages me to say, honestly, great pod, mate. And I appreciate it. Steve as well. Steve always says in our little group, great pods. You know, he keeps telling me to bring more banter to the pod. So I need to try and do that somehow. Maybe I can get maybe a joint Zoom pod with, I don't know, with one of you in the Slack, if you fancy doing it. Even one of the Bombfields, if they're willing to do that as well, if one of you are listening. But yeah, no, I enjoy doing it. I love you all. I hope you all have a very Merry Christmas. And I will do another pod before we hit 2026. But yeah, thanks again, guys, and green arrows.